Hi, I'm Austin.
I'm Josh.
Justin.
Have you guys seen The Warriors?
I know the line though.
What's the line? Give it to us, cold.
The Warriors come out to play.
Come out to play,
Come on,
yay.
cold read that. Yeah.
Nice. Okay.
That's the line.
That is the
Cool.
line.
So you know a
That's
little bit
all.
about it.
I
Yeah.
know that, and I'm pretty sure there's gangs in it.
Well, what we do here on the podcast is the people who haven't seen the movie, this time just Josh again. We're back to basics.
Back
Got
to
a
formula.
Back to home base, you could say. Our feet are on familiar ground.
Not all four of them this time.
the hooves, yeah. and we're taking a trip back in time. This is 1979. So what we need from you, Josh, is can you explain the movie The Warriors to the best of your ability? What do you think it's going to be about, solely based on the title?
So I always get this one mixed up with West Side Story. I don't know if this is also a musical
Really
about
quick
gangs.
question. Have you seen West Side Story?
No, I just know it's a musical
Oh, we're gonna have to
with
watch that.
gangs, I think.
There's a new one, right?
Yeah, but we'll
Yeah,
watch
there's
the
a
old
new one.
one.
I heard they're both good.
They're both good, but we'll
So what
watch the
is
old
it?
one.
I'm gonna say this is not a musical about gangs. The titular gang is called the Warriors. Pretty safe bet. I'm gonna say it's either gonna be an underdog story or not an underdog story. I'm gonna say it's not an underdog story.
An overdog story.
They're like the tippity top gang, and it's about like their downfall or like their
Ooh,
legacy or something.
they too much hubris.
Yeah. Oh, you know what'd be cool? If the Warriors are gone and the whole movie is told through other gangs, like each gang talks about like how cool they were.
Oh, like the myth of the Warriors.
Yeah, but you don't actually see them or
Oh my
anything.
God. Yeah, they're sitting
That'd be
around like a
cool.
candlelit tavern and it's a bunch of short stories about this like prolific gang. I'm down. Somebody make that. Cool. Cool.
Good idea.
What time period? You said you think it's about gangs. It came
I,
out in
does it matter what
79.
time period? No,
You think it's like a current, like a modern day,
it's seven. Well, 79,
future,
I
past.
guess.
That's what I mean. Not modern day now, obviously.
No,
Modern
I
day
don't think it's
everybody's
like
made.
Al Capone, like Nyasi, like gangs or like that. I think it's
You
like
think that
probably.
was in the 70s?
No, that's like past.
Oh, okay.
I
I
got
I
what you were
don't think
saying
it's
too,
that.
Josh, but I understand the confusion, Justin, and it would be really funny, right?
I think it's modern day 79 gangsters.
We're not to Godfather 2 yet. We have started new lists. This is the first one we're hitting. The Warriors. Yeah, no Godfather 2, so it's not Gangland style. You're off to a good start. I really like this idea of little vignettes about sort of street gangs and like maybe you don't even see them. You just see like silhouette, like Batman, Tim Burton, where it's just the
Oh,
silhouette
it's
of
like
Batman for
really
the first half of it.
stylized. Yeah.
That would be a lot of fun. Justin, did you see this on your own or did you see this in college?
Both.
Yeah. I just mean first.
In real life, my cousin showed it to me when I was a teenager.
In real life, not that
Not in school, fake school life.
fake school life, right? Okay. Oh, this is definitely one an older cousin shows you.
Yeah, for sure.
'Cause he won't get in too much trouble for it.
No, it wasn't. It's not too bad. It's not too bad.
Oh, Josh, I'm really torn. I wonder if you're gonna want to be one of the warriors at the end or one of the other gangs. I wonder if you're gonna like this and root for the warrior.
This is another classics list, Austin, right? So as with every class, like I hope I'm gonna like it, but they're so hit or miss.
No pressure.
Like,
Yeah.
I don't think we've ever had like a middling classic movie so
Yeah.
far.
Yeah, that's why they're classics, is they evoke a lot of emotions, whether like good or bad.
Love them or hate them.
I first saw this when I lived near the video rental store in like 2008, 2009. They did this thing where you could rent DVDs for a buck a night, so I was just like, oh, I'd take a wheelbarrow there and wheel them home and just watch a ton of them.
Nice.
And this is one I saw pretty late. I was already in my 20s when I saw this, and I was like, oh hell yeah, this is one I should have seen a long time ago. It's a good one. Let's see really quick. I don't know if we've done too many other movies from 1979, but I'm gonna look it up really quick just to see kind of what
What else is in that era
yeah.
we've done?
Oh, there's some really good ones. Okay. There's some we need to see for sure, but we have done The Jerk. Alien was that year.
Okay, not helping.
Missing episode Phantasm. Try and remember that movie.
I can't.
I don't remember that movie.
Not too many more that we've done. There's a Dracula movie from that year that we probably should do. We'll get to the
Like a
Rocky
later
movie from that
hammer.
year. I think it is. Yeah. We did the Hammer Frankenstein. The Muppet movie was 79.
Ooh.
Wow. That's when Muppets were like still existed. They didn't go extinct yet and had to be like
Yeah.
moved by humans.
This came out the same year as the Muppet movie.
Can't say I've ever seen the Muppet movie.
It's just very juxtaposing things.
Yeah, well, yeah. Jackie Chan had like 17 movies released this year in the US. I
Wow.
have a feeling that they got moved over from China.
Yeah, sure. You don't think he made 15 movies in 1 year?
Oh, The Visitor is from this year. That's a good sci-fi movie. That's a weird one. I don't know if you were there the night we watched that, Justin.
I don't think I've seen that
We
one.
watched it with I believe Letty and Elliot and Erin Marie and Zach. And it's about a little girl who has psychic powers and controls a hawk and kills a bunch of people. It's
Oh.
a fun one. Another one with a really good soundtrack. All right.
We'll have to check it out.
Oh yeah. There's a bunch from this time that look really good, but tonight we're gonna talk the Warriors. We're gonna try
Yeah.
and I don't know, make some peace maybe, try and find our way home. Stick together, that's the big thing, right?
Yeah, conquer some turf.
Ooh, leave our mark everywhere we go. No, we can't start spraying the Have You Seen logo places because it's linked direct. We say our names at the beginning of the podcast. It's linked directly back to us. We can be like, it's our fans. It's not us.
Yeah, it's our fan.
No, we don't want to throw Nick under the mind. Shout out to Nick.
Yeah, our fan.
Yeah, now they have his name too, though, so don't go spraying stuff for Have You Seen.
No, he'll frame us now.
Ah, shit. We have to start a special group called like the Sceners or the Havers or the Ewers. We'll find it. We'll think about it. Our gang name for the Have You Seen. After this, when we watch
The
the
have
Warriors,
nots.
the Have-Nots. Oh no, that sounds bad, right? Yeah,
It
and not like in a funny, ironic way. Just like
does.
you guys are terrible and you're self-aware. after this. Warriors from 1979.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. In the city.
I love this movie. It's good.
Oh, so much fun. I had a blast. It was an adventure ride. I was there for it. Josh, first impressions?
I'll third that. Hell yeah.
Woo!
This is Princess Bride top 5 easy.
Wow.
Material.
Blown
away, like how solid this movie was. Goddamn.
Really?
Yeah.
So are you a warrior?
Is that the name of the fans' movie?
We'll say yes for now.
Sure.
I was actually meaning like, is that the gang you'd want to be in?
Oh,
Because
one of them got thrown into a fucking train.
Oh. Yeah. That's just the life of all.
And
of
like
them.
The whole movie, I was like, he's gonna come back, and then he doesn't.
No, he was straight up dead.
At a certain point near the end, I was like, that guy just got murked by a fucking train, didn't he?
Yes,
like he's not. They're not gonna reveal. He like slipped under the train and lived or whatever.
No.
Like nope, he just died.
He's dead.
Yep.
Oh, at first
he got transported to the Gaunt's room.
Yeah.
Oh God.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now he's fighting vegetable creatures from outer space.
Yeah,
worse fate than hell. This starts off with a comic book kind of drawing and style, which persists throughout the movie. It's amazing.
It's based on a comic, right?
It's based on a book. There's probably a comic as well. It might just be.
I just figured since it had the comic transitions.
This comic thing is like the one thing I don't like about this movie. Honestly.
It's so ahead of its time, though.
I thought it was just weird and out of place.
It
like,
was.
Maybe it's because it looked not great.
Oh, I
like,
it was
I think
fantastic.
It...
Yeah, I
like,
thought it was pretty good. There's just
I don't know.
Still images of drawings.
I don't think it needed 70s. It, right? Like, it didn't... Like, the scenes established themselves well enough. We didn't need, like, a show like, it's the this gang, or, like, meanwhile, back to these guys, even though there's only 8 of them, and they split into, like...
The comic groups. Strips never even really had any dialogue or anything to them. It was literally just transitions, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Sometimes they had text.
Oh, I didn't
they know had, like, mean. Text. Or like when the baseball gang showed up, it introduced them.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh yeah,
yeah
you're
there
right.
There was text sometimes.
But okay. That was kind of like where it was like part of the introduction. It wasn't like a cutaway, like a transition, like the rest of them were. That was the one time where it was like while it was going
beginning
on
of the movie, sometime in the future. That's a great way to start it. Because you're
yeah.
not dating it too much. You're not like 1997. I swear, there were so many fucking sci-fi movies that started with 1997, the future.
We know it could still be the future, and we can only hope that there's a future where like guns just disappear, except for a couple.
And subway train art comes back.
Except for a couple,
yeah.
Yeah.
This is like a low...
There's just enough guns for this movie to be, like, serious, right?
A low fantasy D&D setting?
Yeah, it's like... It's, no, it's low modernism, right?
Yeah.
So the gang, the Warriors, we know nothing about them. We're just along for the ride. They're traveling to the Bronx from Coney Island because a dude named Cyrus, who everybody says is like the baddest motherfucker who ever existed, is given a speech. And there's been a truce established between the gangs, which is good because every block or so has its own gang.
There's a lot of fucking gangs. Mm-hmm. Established in this scene with Cyrus, because he talks about their numbers. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
And we see a bunch of them like come trains to the meet.
I think it's kind of dumb of the cops. I mean, cops make dumb decisions all the time. But to ride in there and try and break this place up when he says there's 20,000 gang members there?
It seemed to work okay. Everybody kind of just bolted.
Well, because... Oh, here's the main crux of the movie.
Yeah, because it's one of those situations where they killed the leader, so, like, they
Cyrus
all scattered.
Up there. Josh, have you heard this before, the Can You Dig It?
probably, but I didn't remember the time. I was just like, wow, this line is real annoying, and he should stop saying it.
It's sort of his mantra.
Yeah, so, I get it.
He had a future. He was going to unite all the gangs, but... He is assassinated by the rogues. I have a bone to pick with the rogues. I love playing rogues in D&D setting. And these guys have terrible SS looking hats. They're like long, lanky black slacks. They're just
they're the only all white gang.
You're right. They're the only not multicultural gang, like multiracial gang.
Even the skinheads.
Yeah.
Have other ethnicities. This is the only one. And man, they did a good job in a movie full of like what's supposed to be like scuzzy looking dudes. They make this Luther guy look the scuzziest. Like, you could just immediately tell he's, like...
Also the way he talks. You know, he
the wormiest of everything.
I was going to say, he reminds me of Wormtongue from Lord of the Rings.
I was going to say he gave me Draco Malfoy vibes.
Gives me real, like, if I wouldn't have been surprised if this was, like, a Brad Dourif's dad. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Same kind of vibe. He's so good as this bad guy. He one of the warriors sees him shoot Cyrus, and he's about to shoot the warrior, but the cops show up, blast him with light, and he just cries out, "The warriors did it! The warriors did it!" And that's when, I guess Cyrus might have been the leader of these guys, the Riffs. They're a huge
crowd. Yeah, it's the biggest. It's the biggest
gang. Yeah,
it's
the guys that show up at the end. Yeah.
They're a big old karate gang. They have cool red gis on. And when they hear that the warriors did it, 50 of these dudes start wailing on one of the warriors. I think that dude died too.
Yeah, the guy who was in charge before, the warlord.
Yep. We never hear about him again.
Cleon.
He may have been taken to jail.
I think he got arrested, which in this movie is the equivalent of dying.
Sure. They're marking spots along the way, which is kind of Tony Hawk 2 underground. You're like, oh, get to the top of that building and mark that so you can establish your turf.
I don't like how in the Fast and the Furious franchise, fatherhood is dying.
Ah.
This one is, if you go to jail, you're dead.
Okay. Game over, man. Swan has established the new warlord. But he's immediately questioned by Ajax.
Yeah, and, James Remar. What a young, funky James Remar, man.
What a dick in this movie, too.
I know, he's such a dick. But
you
he did
him
look
to
good.
Get, like, busted. That's how much of a dick. You're, like, on this quest with this party, and this would be the guy you'd ask to not play anymore.
He's the bad warrior. Like, the one that everybody else is like, can we get him out of here?
It says sometime in
He's dropping too many F-bombs, man.
It says sometime it's in not... the future, and this hate speech isn't cool. the future, man. We're looking to move beyond that.
Mm-hmm. He's the only one that says it the entire movie. So there's movie. That.
Yeah.
And he's definitely supposed to be, like, the bad guy.
We'll get to it. What he does, and he deserves it even more after that. So, this is one of the things this establishes too, Josh. The radio sort of narrator.
So fucking cool.
So cool.
So fucking cool.
You never see him. It's just the close-up shot on the lips on the mic. And she's like orchestrating a hit on air for the Warriors.
That's how they do the coded communications, right?
It's so good. It's like you see this a lot in like Jet Set Radio, that game.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought of. Yeah.
She plays that song that's like no running to hide, nowhere to run.
It's a lot like Fallout 3 with 3 Dog narrating a lot of the things. It's so good.
And they don't hear it either. Like, they're the old thing that doesn't catch on to that they have a hit on them.
That's why you always need a boombox.
Well, they know that they have a hit on them.
They don't find out until two-thirds of the movie when they meet the Lizzies.
They
heard that one guy go, "The Warriors did it," and then saw that their leader got the shit kicked out of him.
I'm on Josh's side. I think they think the truce is just off. And so they're like, "Oh, we got to make it through everybody's place," because when they find out from the Lizzies, it seems like a pretty big twist.
Yeah, and when they got to the graveyard, they were like, "I hope we can make it to the train because the truce might be off now." Exactly. And they weren't really sure three scenes.
I think they would straight up be like shit in their pants if they knew how bad it was. They're just trying to make it home.
Yeah,
which kind of works to their favor because they're a little more bold.
Yeah, they did a lot of stuff they probably shouldn't.
Because they're in this underpass. The train's about to come, and wouldn't you know it, a full-ass bus full of skinheads shows up with baseball bats and chains.
I was surprised that this wasn't the all-white gang, since they're called the skinheads.
This was in the 70s, and this does have historical backing. It was a working-class movement in Britain between the white, like, kids of working class dudes and the black immigrants of working class dudes. They shared their culture, and it was a lot of reggae before it was co-opted by,
of course, because that's what they do. That's what they always do.
Yeah There's a couple of good documentaries on it. I think Two Tone is like one of the original like styles. It's like where ska came from. It's where like British dub came from. It has history in it. So in 79, this makes a lot of sense. But looking through the lens of now, you're like, yeah, why aren't they the old white gang?
You're right.
This is terrifying, though, because they're like, yeah, should we go for it? And they're like, yeah, why not? What's the worst that can happen? They just beat us up for being in their place. They don't know there's like a literal hit out on them.
Not only is Ajax like a shithead, but he's a fucking madman.
Yeah.
Because he's just like the entire time, like, quit running, let's just fight all of them.
They're wimps.
Which, he's right. Every single time they get into a fight, the other gangs are wimps.
They are the Warriors.
That's true.
This is based on, we see in the beginning, Greek mythology. This is like Odysseus trying to get home with his, like, troop of dudes.
Mm-hmm.
And every time they get into a fight, you're like, oh, god damn, they are the Warriors.
They are, yeah.
The comic book transitions start to happen, and it's really fun, I think. Like, the swipes and everything. I think I'm like you, Josh. I didn't care for it the first time, but this time it got me. I was like, yeah, it's so
stylish. Like, it's a stylistic choice. I'll forgive them for it.
Once they start running, and they're like, okay, we got to get the fuck out of here, there's not a lot of fighting for a long while.
Really like that. Yeah,
you got to avoid it.
Yeah, it's just running.
This is
first. And I think the first time they actually stop to like hit people is the cops, which I appreciate, because they're all just like, okay, we'll stop and hit some cops.
Okay, so what happens next is they get to the orphans. And I love that they recognize them. They should have been like, who the fuck are these guys? Because it says orphans on the back of their shirt. They're just all wearing like shitty green shirts and gray sweat.
I like to think that they recognize them because they're also a loser gang.
Oh, okay.
The Warriors? The
like, yeah, the Warriors are low enough to where they recognize the orphans, but like nobody else would.
Yeah, and I think you might be right, Josh, but I think the only reason the Warriors are low is because they only care about fighting.
And they're new.
Well, and there's only 8 of them.
Really new.
Yeah.
Like Coney Island, when we see it later, it looks like Fallout. Like we said,
it does.
Post-apocalyptic desolate war zone. Maybe that's just what it always looks like in 79 in the off season. I don't know. The orphans kind of try to do some intimidation on them. They're like, we can't let you through here unless you take off your colors and pass as civilians. But first, they were going to just let them pass. And then
Mercy comes in.
Yep. It looks like trouble.
I do like that they kind of made this dude, the leader of the orphans, he did kind of, like, he gave off weenie vibes. he did.
The guy that he calls over is the muscle. And the way it's shot, I noticed, is really funny, because the guy he calls over, who's the obvious, like, big goon dude of him, it's, like, shot from underneath, so he looks really tall. And then he walks up to the warriors, and he's a foot shorter than any of them.
Yeah.
I don't know. That was hilarious. They all run inside, and it's like, all right, are we good? The warriors run away, and she follows them because she's like, fuck these loser orphan like gang. They're like 30. Why are they still calling themselves the orphans? They could be parents to kids at this age.
Right? And why do they all have to wear gross stained shirts?
Because all the gangs are themed attire.
All and the gangs have similar fashion than this, though.
And their theme is to look like
Laundry Day.
Yeah, they're the orphans.
They live on the street, I guess.
Yeah,
they're too old to be called the orphans or the waifs or anything like. It's like not.
You wanted a child gang?
Yes. I want a Dickensian waif gang where they're all speaking Cockney and have top hats they've stolen.
I guess that would make sense if they don't actually fight them, right? They just talk to them and leave.
Looking back at history, that is a thing that happens.
All the time. All the
fucking those fucking time. Newspaper gang, I forget what they're called.
They used to do
the
this
kids
thing.
That sell the newspapers, they did not fuck around.
They would do this thing where they would throw a lasso over a lamppost and out of like really thin twine, wait for some rich guy to walk on it and snare him like an animal, yank him up so he bonked his head on the street, and then stole anything that jangled out of his pockets while he was thrashing to get away. Like, they, little sneaky rogues, they could have incorporated that pretty well into this, but they didn't. The orphans go, she goes with them, and the
I think that they're the orphans metaphorically, though. Because they're people that can't they like probably got kicked out of or couldn't get into other gangs.
Oh, you think?
Yeah, I don't think they're actual orphans.
I don't think they're actual orphans.
You think they're the house?
The rejects.
Animal house.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So they're on double secret probation from Cyrus, and that's why they're feeling a little testy tonight because they're Cyrus, the dean. Who ordered them all on probation, kind of, from killing each other, popping each other, or bopping each other. I love the link.
They didn't even get invited to this meeting, which is the first thing that pisses them off.
That was sad. He's like, well, it couldn't have been a meeting of all the gangs, because the orphans weren't there.
Man, we're one of the gangs. We are!
There's, like, a lot of us, and we all have the shitty green shirt. And
they don't even refer to them by name on the radio later. They talk about
there's a scene where they report what happens and he's like, who the fuck is that? We don't know who that is.
I like how both the radio and the credits tell us the name of the gangs. That's really helpful. They come back and see that she's left them for this gang, and the warriors use a firebomb to escape, which is really cool. They throw it, it hits this car, and you're like, oh, that's pretty impressive. And they run away, and then the car's like, boom, like a fucking mini nuke fills the street with fire.
And one of them got, like, blasted by it. I thought it was pretty funny. Yeah. It was like, oh, friendly fire.
His kids
maybe don't run at the car that you just lit on fire with a Molotov.
His kids are double orphans. Because if you're an orphan in the gang.
No, it was one of the warriors. Because they ran at the car.
They ran past it, and then the other guys tried to chase them.
One of the guys was wearing a warrior vest that got, like, knocked down by the explosion. Because I don't think they fully expected it to I don't think they fully expected it to explode.
Well, no. Do you keep dynamite in your trunk? No, cars don't usually do this. That's why it's such a cool scene. It fills the street with fire. Now that, this part gets pretty hardcore because nobody dies in this when the orphans are after him, but they get back to the train, they get on it, they ride for a while, and we have these really awesome moments that, I don't know, this whole movie kind of gives me video game vibes, but this is like loading scenes between areas because you're getting a lot of dialogue, you're getting like the warriors just kind of gabbing, they're falling asleep.
I was really expecting to get a fight on the subway at some point, but that was kind of like a safe haven for them, the entire movie.
See what I mean? Yeah. It was like a rest spot.
I was really expecting it to happen at some point. Like they would, they're like, oh, we're going to get back there, and then there's a gang waiting for them.
As soon as they get off of the subway, a cop is there. He calls the others, and now we've got like 50 cops in the subway station.
Yeah.
One of them wrestles one of the warriors onto the train tracks and dead. We have lost a party member. Hand in your character sheet.
The guy who originally like saw Cyrus get shot.
They are able to...
I don't know his name. I can't find... He's like one of the warriors I can't find because they don't have his picture up on IMDb.
They're able to evade the cops. They get back out on the street and we're introduced sort of to the baseball gang. They're very ominous. None of them are talking. They just hear
baseball furies.
I love that. Like none of them talk.
None of them.
They're just intimidating and have bats.
They can run.
And yeah, they can run.
Well,
really
yeah,
far.
They run the bases, man.
Yeah.
They can't fight.
No, they cannot.
No, they're not the
worst. They have those baseball bats, and it does fucking nothing. It's like, oh, now we have weapons. Thanks.
Yeah, I wrote that too.
That's so video gamey, right? They just beat guys, and now they have bats.
And they do that. They like show it to you.
And it matters. Like they use them. Later.
Nice, we got bats.
Yeah. These guys fucking suck at using bats for being their theme.
They can hit balls. They just can't hit dudes trying to punch them. They're so bad.
Oh, during this baseball fury fight, I made a note here that Swan, he comes from the Star Trek school of fighting because he did a couple of hammer fists.
I was just about to say this. They're so bad that Swan takes his time and is like, I've never Shatner punched someone. And he just...
Oh, it works!
I guess if they're bad at fighting, it really works. Because he does it three times.
He does.
He hits the dude across the face with like interlaced hands, and then over the back, and then downs him. And it's like
it's such a terrible way to try to hit someone.
You could just use your fist, but he's like, no. Star Trek came out. I want to try it.
So Swan is a Trekkie.
Swan's a Trekkie. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're all Trekkies. Come on. Sit around on Coney Island.
Not Ajax. Not Ajax. He'd call you a slur for watching it.
A Trekkie. You Ferengi.
James Remar was probably on Star Trek.
Yes, I'm willing to bet he played an alien.
Oh no, he's on Babylon 5.
Ooh, even better. Way more obscure. the party splits.
He was in so much TV.
Half of the party is picked up by the foxy lady gang, the Lizzies, at the next subway stop, and half of the gang.
Josh, did you figure what was going on like immediately?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Like, oh, this is a lady gang.
If there was like a couple of them, like maybe not, but there was like seven of them,
yep.
All just sitting.
And like the
yeah,
Greek,
they're again.
And like the Greek myth, this is like where they meet like harpies or sirens or something,
sirens,
right?
Yeah.
Yep. The other half of the gang has an adventure in the park. It's Swan, two of the lower members, and Ajax, and they walk by a lady in the park. They say hello, tip their hat, and continue on as you do. Ajax
This does
is
play
like,
like a D&D game. If we're treating it like a D&D game, they really messed up by splitting the party.
I think that often.
It only got one of them. They all got back together besides one.
Ajax
always leads in at least one party death.
does something really stupid here. And he's like, you know, I don't want to be a gentleman warrior like the rest of you. I want to be a real creep. And he's like, doesn't she know you ain't supposed to be in the park? It ain't safe after dark or something. And they're like, Ajax, what the fuck is wrong with you?
He's like, hold on, guys, I'm gonna go rape this girl real quick.
I'm gonna sexually assault this woman in the park. She at
Second
first.
time he tries to rape someone, because he was going to do it to Mercy, too.
He is definitely, yes, getting way too rough with people. He's coming across as like the biggest creep in the party. And he sits down. She's like, why don't you sit down? She invites him to sit and is like, you're about to get lucky in the park. And he gets creepier. He's like, I like it rough, and starts like tearing at her clothes. And
The
don't you
cop.
know it, bingo bango, she's got handcuffs on him, and he's handcuffed to the bench, and she's like, you're fucking under arrest, and pulls out a
And
whistle.
he's like pleading with her, like, come on, lady.
And he's trying to
I
be
like how
like,
he starts
you did.
dragging the bench towards her.
Yes.
Like, you didn't just try to fucking rape her. Oh my God.
Drags the bench and tries to then strike her after he can't plead with her to let him go.
Yeah.
The other party is like, maybe we should go back for him. Like, he's a dick, but he's part of the Warriors. Then they see this going on and they're like, nope. Secretly, I think they're a little happy to get rid of Ajax.
I mean, he abandoned his post, right? Like, they're in a wartime scenario, and he's like, I'm gonna go get some action. So they're like, well, you're on your own.
Yeah, not just get some action. Take some action.
I know, you gotta remember
Terrible.
though, these guys are the heroes that we're following, but they are still
I think you
like
can be a street gang
gang
and still
members.
have honor, like in this world.
Well, they still have honor, but they still do some scummy things. Like, there's a scene where Swan talks to Mercy and says that maybe they should run a train on her.
You know, Swan and Mercy, he is terrible towards her. And
He
we're
is.
almost to the spot where it's like, why are you still with him? Because at first, yeah, he's really slut-shaming her this whole movie. And he doesn't have a reason for it. I wrote good for Ajax, he's been a real asshole. Mercy comes back at this point and is shown to be following him, and we have this really cool long shot where she's like walking down the street looking for him, and there's no dialogue, there's just footsteps, and then boom, James Remar pops out of the shadows and grabs her, and it's
That was
pretty
earlier in the
jarring.
movie,
I
but
know, it's pretty jarring. That's earlier when he was getting rough with her and Swan had to step in. They're on platform 96. This is Swan and Mercy. The cops come. He throws his weapon, which takes out the cop, hits him in the ankles. But the place is then swarmed with police. They escape down a tunnel, cut back to the Lizzie's. And things seem to be going well for these guys. Music is on. They have a full jukebox in their hideout. Kind of cool.
There's one, the young one is the only one that's like on alert saying they need to go.
And the others are like, come
Rembrandt.
on, man, take your time. They said we could pick whichever one we want to make out. And yeah, Rembrandt is also the one that carries the paint, which is fitting to tag locations.
He's also the only one that's not a fighter, I think. Like, he doesn't really
He doesn't fight
engage in
much in
the
the
fight.
bathroom scene later.
He's new.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'll get there.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, maybe he's like the flag bearer since he's the one that tags. You
Yeah,
know what I
or
mean?
a scout. I
Yeah.
think they send him when the skinheads are in the tunnel. They send him to scout ahead because he's quick.
He does, yeah.
He has a vest though, so he's had to win a couple of fights, I bet.
Yeah, he doesn't not fight. Like, whenever they all arm themselves later, he arms up, but he's just not. Yeah. Doesn't seem to be his focus in the game. where everybody else is like all about fighting.
Chunk, the door is locked, and he notices this Rembrandt. Things are getting tense. He looks back, and one of the Lizzies pulls a switchblade, the other pulls a gun, and they just start blasting in this tiny apartment.
I can't tell if the Warriors are really good at dodging bullets or if they're really bad shots in this movie.
I think both.
They dodge so many bullets in this movie.
Yeah, both. Luckily it's both.
But also, I feel like, man, the Lizzies were real close here. Like, the way they messed up, their fault here was taking too long. They had them. Just pull out your guns earlier.
Yeah.
One or two guns besides the ones the cops have.
Oh, this is so scary because they're shooting in this tiny room. The guys are like jumping over couches and tables trying to get away. The doors are locked and they have to. There's some great stunt work here because one of the Lizzies gets smashed over the head with a chair and it shatters to pieces. And the way they get out is they smash this green glass door down. There's great stunt work in this too. The fight scenes are really good.
Then after the Lizzie scene is where the same group encounters the mime gang and one of them gets trapped in an invisible box.
Thankfully, the movie doesn't get that goofy. We do see the mime earlier at the meet, though.
I know that was like, I don't remember these guys, but they weren't in the rest of it.
You think they were an actual gang?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. Yes. And terrifying. You don't want to run into the fucking mime gang, bro. They'll stab you with an invisible sword from 20 feet away. Can't fight that shit off.
Yeah, their thing is they're just really silent and like good at sneaking up on people.
When the Lizzies lock the door and attack, they call out, "Those are the guys that killed Cyrus, man." So that's when the Warriors are like clued into it. They're like, "Oh, shit's real. Like, we killed the king of the thieves, basically. And everybody's on to us."
The guy who's gonna bring everyone together.
We get introduced to a new gang here, and it's Swan's side is sort of meet up with the other ones. They're in Union Square.
What was this gang's theme? Overalls?
These were the overall goons. No.
And their leader was on skates.
He literally rolled up on them.
Yeah.
They look like rugby players in overalls for some reason.
Some of them were fucking huge.
Yes, this was a terrifying gang. The Warriors is just like, hey, let's go to this bathroom. Like they've done this before. Like everybody picks.
This is a classic war. This is a classic warrior move.
Yeah, I guess it's kind of like hiding behind your shield until the last minute. Like it's kind of the 300. They spray this dude in the face with paint. Rembrandt does. And then he punches him. He's in on it. Everybody busts out while they're distracted. And it is a brouhaha in the bathroom. Mirrors are getting broke. Doors are getting shattered. People are getting thrown into toilets. It's great.
It's a slapdown, that's for sure.
Mercy's like, I can't go in there. It's a men's room. Really good line. One of the Warriors is like, are you kidding? And just pulls her in.
That guy's name is Vermin, by the way.
Very slapstick and very fitting for him.
There's Cowboy, Snow, Cleon, Ajax, Swan, Vermin.
We've seen the Rift's hideout a couple of times. It's an abandoned parking garage that looks really futuristic and cyberpunk and kind of dystopian, bleak, brutalism. But someone goes into the Rifts and is like, hey, I have to tell you something about who really shot Cyrus. And you got to think they're going to tell him the truth because everybody already thinks the Warriors did it. So why would they be there otherwise? The Warriors get on a train. They finally are starting to get some like rest.
Sleep.
Oh, right before this, though, making out in the subway tunnels. Swan is a real dick to Mercy. He's like, he's like shaming her for shit. He has no idea what he's talking about. And she's like,
and of course this leads her to kiss him.
Ugh, yeah. It's better than the Orphan Gang, but at the same time.
And Ajax, definitely better than Ajax.
She could move up the ladder. She could probably wind up with the Mime Gang pretty easily. That's a good foothold. Yeah, they get on the train. Everybody's sort of falling asleep and passing out. And then the yuppies get on the train, and this part's pretty funny because I'm like, they really
These
yup.
people came on,
Are
and
they really yuppies or are they a yuppie gang?
I was half expecting them to be like, "We're the prom gang. We always dress
Yes.
like it's prom."
Yes. We're the prom nighters or something. where's your limo? They're not. They're just yuppies, and they
Let me
look at
pin
them, and they're like, you guys are
the
super dirty. And it's like, you guys probably shouldn't be on the subway during a turf war.
What are the few non-gang people in the movie?
I don't think they know. I think this is so underground, and they're so oblivious that Josh is right. It's coded on the radio, and if you're not part of the world, if you're part of like the haves above ground, you have no idea this is even going on. You're like, the police have a handle on crime. Everything's okay. They protect us.
Sure.
Little do they know there's like 60,000 people ready to rise up.
Right.
Because everything is on fire and it's a terrible dystopian
Yeah,
nightmare.
it is. That's what I was thinking, is like, is this just a few like a dystopic future where everybody's just in gangs?
I think it
Literally
is.
everyone is in
If
gangs.
you're not going to prom high school, you're in a gang. Yeah.
Right.
It's
The other
pretty
reason I thought that those
split.
people were in a gang, because they were dressed like they were going to prom. They're credited as prom couple, but they looked 30.
I mean, that's how it be, right? Look at the orphan, that child gang. They all look 30. They were supposed to be waifs. It's sunrise. They've made it back on the train to Coney Island. This is great. They're in their home turf, but one thing's wrong. There's a big black car driven by the rogues who have come to make sure they die before they can tell who really killed Cyrus. And we got the
Were they
rogues.
going to tell who really killed Cyrus, or were they just trying to, like,
They were probably gonna say, we didn't
sanctuary?
do
We
it.
made it home.
They're probably gonna be like, we at least didn't do it. We don't know who did. But,
I don't know. I didn't feel like they had a plan. I think they just
No,
wanted to go home.
terrifying. Yeah, everybody in the city trying to kill you in one night? I don't think you have too much of a plan. This is their home turf, and they don't have weapons stored. They're just picking scrap up off the ground and pulling
Coney
pipes.
Island is a weapon. They can that they're so good. They the anything in Coney Island they can pick up and kill a man with.
You're right, they're the warriors. They're like, of course we don't have a stockpile of weapons. We don't need them.
Yeah, we'll just take whatever they attack us with.
Except this knife. I'm gonna take this knife.
He took that earlier from the overall guy.
Yeah, you're right. They have no weapons stored at home. They're a brand new gang who they're just a martial arts studio who like went under, or their leader was killed a month ago, and they're like, we should start a gang.
Right. And they're already above the orphans.
Well, fuck yeah, they are. Everybody's above the orphans. The rogues look like street magicians that you'd see in Vegas. They all
The
have like,
rogues do not look good.
they're just douchey. They got black fedoras.
That was like my only thing about this, is like it was a very anticlimactic final fight.
I kind of dig it because I'm like, oh shit, final fight. They're taking them down to the beach. Maybe there's more warriors in hiding that are going to come and get them. Maybe.
That's what I was expecting. Like they were like, "Oh, we gotta get home." I'm like, "What is getting there going to stop these people from
You're
trying
not
to
on
kill you?
anybody
Is there
else's
more?"
turf.
I know, but
That helps. I mean, like we said, they don't have
I
too
guess
much of a
I guess it would
plan.
help. I was expecting there to be more warriors, though. I
Yes.
was like expecting them to get home and there to be more.
More red-vested warriors.
Yes,
That would be
but there
nice.
was not.
There wasn't. There's just like six of them at this point, and they're on the beach, and the rogue jerks are there, and there's like, oh no, I don't know, 15 of them, so it's not a fair fight.
That's a gun.
And a gun, and this little guy's like, oh well, Swan says, let me fight you one-on-one. We're the warriors, that's how we do things, through Kumite, like Mortal Kombat. If you beat me, you get Coney Island. And he's like, no, I have a gun and all these goons. I'm just gonna shoot ya.
Yeah,
And Swan's like,
I mean,
no.
Fair point.
Swan's like, no, no, you're not, because I'm a warrior. Throws this switchblade into his arm, causing him to
dodges a bullet at the same time.
Doesn't yep. hit any of the other
point
warriors
blank. There. That yeah. guy was standing right in front of him, and he
yeah.
Bro, they're the warriors.
Little ridiculous, but too cool. I didn't care.
I wanted there to be
it was
a
fine.
Mountain of bodies on Coney Island Beach, and then be like, these are the warriors who didn't pass. Like,
yeah.
we're the ones who passed initiation.
I wanted him to throw the knife and deflect the bullet away and then hit him in the arm.
Maybe he did. There's nothing that says he didn't. This is one of those things where the leader is knocked down, kind of humiliated, and the gang sort of loses its morale. They don't want to fight at first, it seems like. All is lost if they do, because the warriors are so outnumbered. They're good fighters, but there's a lot of these dudes. And out of nowhere, the Riff show up.
Who now knows what really happened.
They're like, we'll finish this guy off or whatever, and let the warriors
leave.
I like
the line. I like the line because he said that you guys were good.
Oh,
the real good. And then
good.
He says, and then he says, the best. And then the other guy says, everything else is ours.
Yeah, the rest is for us. Like, they acknowledge that they're the best. They're like, yeah, we put a hit out on you, and you made it back to the city, and there's eight of you? And you lost, like, two of you
there's
died.
Six now. There's six now, but there was eight.
We beat one of you to death. The cops took away one, and one got thrown onto the train by the cops. Wow. Oh. Wow.
Yeah, took away both, actually. So none of the gangs stopped them.
Exactly.
Unless you consider the cops a gang.
The cops definitely are a gang. Yes. 100%.
But they're not in, like, the gang circles.
They kind of are. In their own
way. I would almost... The way that the scene was set up, it kind of made me feel like that the rogues were working with the cops.
Yes, that's kind of what I thought, too.
That's how they got the gun, because he didn't pull out the gun until the cops pulled up all sneakily.
That's how the cops knew about the meeting.
And then he passed it around and gave it to him, and then he shot him.
Yep.
I don't get the, I just like doing it for, because I like doing stuff
no,
like that.
And I like the mystery behind this bad guy. You get no motivation. You're like, he's just a scumbag who assassinated this guy who could have brought about a really peaceful time in the city. I don't think he acted just out of chaos, because he had the gun passed to him. Like you said, it was an orchestrated move.
And it was, they didn't start passing around until after the cops showed up. That's
yeah.
what made me think it.
They were using him for cover. For sure. I buy that theory. And then, boom. We get in the city, start playing, because, sorry, warriors. We almost killed you, but you made it out, so here's a song. Wow.
Do they get the rogues' territory now?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No, I guess not the Riffs take it, because they said everything else is ours.
Oh. Hopefully they get some nicer buildings in Coney Island.
Your territory has to be, like, connected. You can't, like, disjointed territory.
Oh, okay. We're doing some board game rules?
You gotta have the rules.
You can't defend a territory that's, like, way in the city if you live, like, on the outskirts, right?
The city.
It's a bad strategy to do that in Risk, for sure.
Oh, man. After this, our lead, Swan, played by Michael Beck, he was, a year later, he was in Xanadu.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 years after that, he was in Mega Force. So
yeah, he's also in a TV movie called The Last Ninja, where he plays a character named Kinjiro Sakura.
Yeah, I don't think he fits the part.
I don't think he does.
Oh, of course he's in Walker, Texas Ranger. He's in everything from the 90s, from like Nash.
He's like a recurring character in Walker, Texas Ranger.
He voiced Swan in the video game from 2005, which I hear is really good. I don't know if anybody's played that on here.
I haven't, but I've heard it's good.
Yeah.
James Remar's been, of course, he's legendary. He's been on, like, almost every TV show.
Oh yeah, so much stuff.
He's in Legend of Korra. Does a lot of voice acting, obviously,
Oh, doing
because
voice acting these days, yeah, for sure.
I mean, that was 2014, almost 10 years ago.
Oh, fine, make me feel like that. David
These
Patrick
days.
Kelly, the leader of the Rogues, is still acting.
That's
He
not surprising.
oh yeah, he had a really big comeback part in the Twin Peaks third season that they had a couple of years ago.
Oh, nice.
He played
Yeah, I see
Jerry
that he's in a
Morgan.
couple of things in 2022.
Oh, he was in John Wick. He was
Oh, he
in
was in Succession. That's a big show
John
right
Wick
now.
1 and 2. Like, he's in some pretty big stuff. All right, we're to the point. Josh, you've never seen this movie before. It sounds like you liked it. Would you recommend it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think this is a very well paced movie. It's super tense. They hang a lot of scenes, which is great. The characters are all pretty well established, except for the ones that die like instantly.
Oh, sorry.
I appreciate how like not violent it is. Like, it's not that gory, it's not that sexual. Well,
There's
you know,
almost
I
a
don't want
threat
to say
of
this
it.
is a movie I could show my kids, of course, but like I was surprised how tame it was. Like, I kind of like that about it.
There's always the threat of that sort of violence looming. So it
Yeah,
has that
you
tense
know, it
feeling.
was it still felt like weight, right? Like the fight scenes were cool. Like there was a little blood and stuff, but like it made sense.
It's
You know,
rated
I
R.
wasn't go like, why isn't there violence or
It's
like
rated R for the language and
and
probably,
violent.
yeah, the
But
violence.
that was back in
Violence,
a
yeah.
time when I don't think there was a PG-13, so you were either PG or R back then, right?
Or NC-17X, yeah.
Or G, I guess. There's G
Yeah,
too.
yeah, yeah. Oh wow, Deborah Van Valkenburg, she came back for to voice in Mercy in the game as well. They got a lot of the actors back to do the video
They
game.
did.
I might have to check that out. I think it's a co-op experience.
David Patrick, the guy who played Luther, that was his very first role.
Wow.
Like this was his first thing that he was ever that he was in, according to IMDb.
What'd you think about the bottles clicking
Man,
together and the classic line?
could you imagine your first gig being like something that's like that iconic, like delivering that line with the bottles? Like
Yeah.
even Josh knew that line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was his first
I wasn't sure where
acting.
the noise was coming from at first, but you
I
know,
think
they
that was the.
established this guy as like a crazy dude, so I didn't think it was that weird
I mean, he was
when he
definitely
did
on
it.
drugs.
It was implied there were so many drugs in this
He was
movie.
very sweaty.
He improvised "Come out to play, yay." Like, it's a line his neighbor used to say.
Oh.
So he,
With
yeah.
the Coke bottles.
Yeah. That was completely improvised on set.
I was saying, did he say his friend did it with the Coke bottles
Oh,
too?
I don't. Not his friend, his neighbor when he was a
His
kid.
neighbor, come out to play,
Yeah,
yay!
I don't
No
know.
thanks.
No
I'm gonna
thanks.
no thanks.
Wow. There were several injuries to Mercy while filming this. Oh, wow. She broke her wrist and fell one time.
Oh,
Mike
no.
Michael Beck swung a bat into her face by accident and was rushed to
Yeah.
the hospital for stitches.
This seems like it would be like kind of a nightmare to be on set on because there's so much running.
It's a blast though. Sol Yerrick wrote the original book as a rebuttal to the romanticized view of street gangs in West Side Story, Josh, which came out in 61. I think this romanticizes it to a different way. It's
A
like,
different way, yeah,
yeah,
for
I was gonna
sure.
say this seems like a fairly romanticized version, but still.
The film trucks, while filming, were protected by a real street gang called the Mongrels for $500 a day.
Amazing.
And they use them for like inspiration and like experience and stories and stuff. Wow.
Cool.
Yeah, that was a good one. Justin, would you recommend?
Yeah, absolutely.
Hell yeah.
It's really good. If you've never seen this movie, do yourself a favor and go watch it. It's, like Josh said, I can't really add anything else to it. It's got really good pacing. The characters are really well, like, you don't get a whole lot of, like, there's, like, not really any exposition, but you feel like you kind of know the characters.
That's what's so great, right? Like, all this, there's scenes where they're just sitting in the subway and it's just dead silent. And they're, like, looking the door.
It's a mood.
Or they're, like, walking down a street and there's just no noise. It's so good.
This was a number one hit, but it started drawing in crowds of real street gangs, which were an issue in the 70s because of such, like, classist and, like, poverty-ridden areas, like, classist policing and, like, them saying, no, we're not helping you, New York. Like, it was a hellscape. Like, buildings were on fire, and they were refusing to put them out. So many street gangs went to see this that they would get in fights with their rival street gangs in the theaters. This had to be pulled from box offices. And that kept it from being, like, a huge hit.
Yeah.
It's only a 65 on Metacritic.
Huh. Interesting. I mean, it's since become a huge hit. Like, this is a huge movie.
Oh, yes. A cult hit. Classic for sure.
Just to go over the numbers, it estimated budget $4 million. Made $3.5 million the opening weekend.
Yeah, like I said, it was slated to be a huge success. The
its gross worldwide is $22.5 million.
The boys in the overalls are the Turnbull ACs.
Oh, okay.
Not sure where that comes from. Some sort of reference me.
You guys want to hear the tagline?
Yeah.
All right, it's really long. These are the armies of the night. They are 100,000 strong. They outnumber the cops 5-1. They could run New York City. Tonight, they are all out to get the warriors. That's the tagline.
Sure.
It's really long.
A little long.
I have a list.
Also, can you dig it?
I have a list of every single gang in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
They were listed in the script. Some made it in the movies, some didn't. It's too long to read on air.
There's a lot. There's a lot.
The Alley Cats, the Amsterdam All-Stars, the Baseball Furies, the Black Hands, the Black Jacks, the Big Trains, the Boppers, the Boyle Avenue Runners, the Charlemagnes, the Colt 45s, the Dealers, the Delany Rovers, the Destroyers, the Dingoes. Whew. Yeah, I'm gonna stop there. I'm afraid,
the Soho Hi-Hats.
I'm afraid I'm gonna read these really fast, and there's gonna be one that has like hate speech I'm not gonna catch, and I'm just gonna read it too quick, or some outdated like slur or something.
Sure.
Like the Red Hook Shooters, the Roadmasters, the Rogues, the Romans, the Runaways. You think the Runaways know the Orphans?
Yes, maybe. Are the Orphans on the list? It'd be really funny if they're not.
Oh my god. They're not.
Yeah!
No. Oh, awesome. They are. Never mind. They are.
Oh, okay. Damn it.
They're at the very. It's alphabetical, but they're still like at the bottom for some reason. That's hilarious. The Stilettos. Ooh, we didn't see them. The Xenophones. The Xylophones. The Whispers.
What?
The Yo-Yos, the Zodiacs, the Zools. Wow. Yeah, that was a blast. I'd recommend it as well. This was a lot of fun. It's 79, so obviously expect some dated things from it.
Wasn't that bad, though. There's not that much.
There's not.
It holds up really well in that regard. There's one guy who drops too many F-bombs, but he's obviously supposed to be a bad guy.
And it's a lot of...
Not that makes it okay, but, you know.
It's a survival movie. It's We Gotta Get Home. It's it's just everybody's out to get us, and how are we gonna do this? It was filmed in 60 days. Shot from midnight to 8 a.m.
That's insane.
Yep. That's a full recommend. That's a full house recommend from here at Have You
Seen
It.
2 months. 2 months to make this movie, to shoot this movie.
If you want to hear about any of the other movies we've talked about, you can find them on podcasts.com or the Apple Podcast app. You can find us on Facebook, YouTube, under FapCheck, and we're at FapCheck@gmail.com. Check out our other shows, Amazeballs, where we talk about TV anthology series. What About Wrestling, where Justin and Nick and sometimes me talk about wrestling. Check out our other channel, where we're getting a D&D gaming shit going, The Pit Friends. You can find that on Facebook and YouTube as well. Yeah, that was a lot of fun, but you know what? It's getting dark, and I have to make my way home.
Mm.
I'm going to try not to get attacked by any.
We got to make it to the sub. We got to make it to the subway or the train.
In the city. Dun, 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 dun. Oh, yeah. Here we go. Have you seen it?